And I'm going to bring up the script. So Commissioner Weintraub has offered to chair the, I've asked Commissioner Weintraub to chair the hearing. Both Kathy Connor and Gina Dimitratis are unable to attend. So thank you, Commissioner Weintraub, and I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, great. I'm calling this Back Bay Architectural Commission public hearing to order at 5 p.m. on August 9th, 2023. You can participate in the hearing by going to your Zoom meeting link and our agenda posted online at https://public-notices/16040341 or by calling 301-715-8592 and entering in the meeting ID of 985-6759-1604#. You can also submit written comments or questions to the Back Bay AC at boston.gov. In accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, we are conducting this hearing online. To ensure public access to deliberations of the Back Bay Architectural Commission, the public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on a project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside the commission's purview. So with that, I'll call our first item on our agenda, 24.0069 Back Bay 149 Newbury Street. And Joe, before they present, do you want to read your comments?
I do, and I do have one announcement that we have one administrative review application, and that is 24.0060BB 179 Beacon Street. That has been withdrawn from tonight's agenda. So if you're here for that application, that has been withdrawn. And if you have any questions, you can email backbayac@boston.gov, and I'll be happy to answer your questions. And I believe, Commissioner Christensen is just about to join, so I will make him a co-host. All right, John Christensen, you should be able to unmute yourself and start your video. And Harrison, are you here? Oh, no, I'm sorry, Whitney, are you here for 149 Newbury Street?
Yes, good evening, Joe. I'm here. Thank you.
Great. Who else will be joining you? Who should I?
I have Keith O'Hearn from Cisca on the phone, as well as Peter Habib from Nelson. And I believe Mark Barassa, if he's on, he's joining too.
Let's see, Peter.
Doesn't look like Mark has made it on the call today.
There we go.
All right. If there is anyone else for this, from this team, please just raise your hand and I will make you a co-host. I will read my comments. Staff notes that 149 Newbury Street is a newly constructed five-story commercial building approved by the commission in 2021. In the plans approved by the commission, all mechanical equipment was located at the roof. The design guidelines for the commercial area of the district specifically state that, and I'll quote, all utility equipment, condensers, vents, chases, etc., should be placed inside the building or on the ultimate roof of the building. Placing equipment in the rear yard or on the roof of an L is inappropriate. The appearance of telephone and or cable equipment should be minimized. Compliance with applicable noise regulations is required. The applicant states that the two unapproved air compressors at the alley are required to condition a bicycle storage room and lobby, and that it's not feasible to relocate the equipment to the roof due to the fact that the distance from the first story to the roof exceeds the distance required for the system to function properly. Staff recommends that the applicant explore other HVAC systems that can be placed on the roof without installing piping or conduit to the exterior of the building. Should there be no other option than the two unapproved compressors, screening similar in appearance to the doors to the existing trash storage area should be installed to block the equipment from view. And before I turn it over, I just want to show commissioners, this was, I believe, the landscape plan that was approved in 2021 in September. And you will see that at that time, the lobby area and bicycle storage unit were part of the plan. And in October 21, here is the rooftop mechanical equipment that was approved by the commission. And you will see when we get to the alley elevation, there was no proposed or approved mechanical equipment at the ground level. All right, so just Whitney, let me know when you would like me to move forward.
Thank you, Joe. This is a great place to start. So as a reminder, my name is Whitney Robinette. I'm a principal at L3 Capital. Thank you for having me tonight. These photos show the current conditions a few weeks ago at 149 Newberry. Obviously, construction is still underway on the tenant spaces, so there's a lot of activity in the back alley. But this shows you the existing conditions as of today. If you look in the bottom left-hand photo, this is an image peering over the garden wall. And you can see there's a small unit in the back of the alley by the stair. And then there's one further away towards the trash area. But these are the existing photos. Joe, if you wouldn't mind going to the next photo. This is a viewpoint. If you're walking down the alley, you can see one of those units there and one of those units there. Yep, thank you. This is a little closer of a view, but leaning over the garden wall, again, looking at those units in question. Just another view, a couple different angles. And I think that's the last view. Next slide, please. So this is a quick diagram. As Joe mentioned, those two units service the ground floor. So one of them is servicing the office lobby. One of them is servicing the bike room. And certainly as we were going through this whole process, the building was designed from the outside in, and we're very happy with the building. I think most people are. At the time when we were proposing the mechanical screen on the roof, it was intended for a lot of the HVAC units to service the building, be located on the roof. And if they were going to be on the roof, they needed to be screened. So we went through that process quite extensively. As we were going through the engineering, we realized that we couldn't find units that would service these two rooms that could meet code requirements, but that also had could meet distance requirements. And so the issue that we ran into is that the refrigerant piping that's needed to service, to extend to these units is not long enough to go to the roof. There's no solution we could find that would actually make the travel distance from the enclosed mechanical penthouse area down to service these floors. And so these were the best locations that we could identify during the engineering phase. Next slide, please. So we're proposing to screen the two units in a way that's very similar to the trash enclosure that's on the ground floor that you can see on the right side of the photo. The doors aren't shut, but that is the trash enclosure. And so these would be two independent screening systems that would be permanent, that would block the views of those mechanical units at ground level. I think we have a couple different views. Yes, here's another view. There's another view. So it'd be that same bronze color, and they would have the same similar paneling design.
So this, Joe, this is a Whitney, I take it they're split systems?
I believe that's the case. Keith, yeah. if I'm mistaken, please speak up.
So I think it's almost like an MEP flaw that you didn't. Do you have a cooling tower on the roof?
No.
Or is it? But the whatever system you have up there wasn't sufficient to do the bike room and the lobby. Or the run was over a certain distance, so it couldn't reach it. But it can reach the other floors. It can reach the ground floor.
Yeah. Keith, maybe you could elaborate on the condensing unit piping and the issue with getting the piping down through the building from the area allotted for mechanical equipment on the roof.
I think I need to make him, let me make him a go. Keith O'Hearn?
Yes.
Correct. Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
He should be able to unmute himself now.
Oh, there we go. Okay. The building is served by multiple VRF splits. So the tenants are served by multiple VRF split systems, which have the ability to run from the enclosure on the roof down the building and across the building. The landlord systems that are on this first floor are individual one-to-one split system, split system fan coil with a condensing unit outside. Unfortunately, those systems have line lengths that are much less than a VRF condensing unit because the tonnage is much less. The longest current unit that I could find can run 165 feet, but that's not enough to run all the way across the building, up the building to the roof, and then over to the penthouse enclosure structure for the line length of the piping. And the reason for the piping maximum line length that the manufacturer gives us is the units won't function. They can't function with line lengths further than what they recommend. There's oil recirculation issues, et cetera. So they set these maximum line lengths and they can't be exceeded with the equipment.
All right, that makes sense. But I'm just curious, why didn't you come to us with this before you did the work, as opposed to doing it? It's almost like better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Yeah, Robert, I don't have a good answer.
Just ask my question.
Yeah, I just had you known about this, and it's not on the plan, then you should have applied for it. And I think you would have met with a lot less resistance had you applied for it. But since you've already done it, Joe, is this not a violation?
I didn't issue a violation. I got an application before I could issue it. So it just seemed like this would be an easier way to do it. And I suspect that the violation subcommittee would probably have referred it to the commission.
Right.
I mean, I do have to say, and I've said this to the applicant, it really is disappointing that we have a $20 million building, which really turned out great, but, we have these two add-ons that, ideally we would not want to have to live with. And if there is some kind of way to move it to the roof, and that is just, sustainability, moving all mechanical equipment to the roof is just a best practice in the event of flooding. It just seems unbelievable to me that this has happened in a project this large.
Joe,
right.
I couldn't agree with you more. We had subcommittee meetings, we had meeting after meeting at the full commission. There was a very clear and extensive discussion of the HVAC equipment. It was all going on on the roof. There really, I think Rob has captured it perfectly, that it appears that either this was really bad project management or a decision that it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Now, the Neighborhood Association in its letter has outlined several alternatives that they think are doable. Have you looked at those?
We received their letter last week and we have looked at it, but we haven't done any engineering studies.
Okay.
Tom, do you want to review those?
Excuse me?
Do you want to review some of the alternative solutions that NAP came up with?
I think probably it would be better if Serge Savard, who I see is here and who sent the letter and who is an engineer and understands these things, could discuss them far more knowledgeably than I could. It seems to me that they look like they are possibilities. And as Joe is suggesting, before any decision is made to simply allow something that is non-conforming and not in good, not a good message to send to other applicants, we should be sure that those alternatives and any others have been exhausted.
Okay. It seems like then this should get deferred and give the applicant a chance to review the alternative engineering, and that might solve the problem.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to continue it and have them come back with either a proposal that complies with the guidelines and if that's the case, it could be approved administratively, or if not, they should come back and explain why the alternatives they looked at also do not work.
But having said that, the concrete ramps and pipe rails are really quite unattractive. And a thought occurred to me that if you could integrate the screening of the mechanical units with the landing of the ramp or something like that, it might not be a bad solution if the alternative engineering doesn't work.
Yeah,
so I look at that, boy, those pipe rails in the concrete is ugly. Is there a chance that the entire alley could be improved with an alternative that incorporated the mechanical unit? And I would suggest that only after the alternative engineering had been evaluated.
That makes sense.
I agree with that.
Does somebody have a motion?
I'd be ready to make a motion.
Okay. So then we'll go to public comment.
All right, Rob, can you read that?
Okay. Members of the public will now have the opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on the project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside the commission's purview. Serge?
Thank you, Rob. And good evening, Commissioner Joe and everyone on the call. Serge Savard, co-chair for the NAB Architecture Committee. We did look at this application in our committee last week, and I did ask some questions regarding the technical installation here. For example, these units are actually one-ton unit. We have a number of units that are installed in the Back Bay all over that are one-ton units that actually support the conditioning of air of units all the way down to the basements of some houses. So there are units that are e-pump that can easily do over the 50 feet limit. The Samsung unit may have this specific issue, but Fujitsu and LG units, for example, will go to 82 feet of height, or even 94 feet of height for the LG, if I remember correctly. The engineer that was speaking didn't mention the light length. If the unit would be located pretty close on the roof at the same level where the unit is down, the line length should not be drastically different than the height delta. Since this is installed in the roof the ceiling of the first floor all the way to the top unit, you're talking about 55 feet of run length. Then even if you add additional, you would be in the 85 or maybe to 100 feet maximum to reach this. So this should be well within the technical and technological possibilities to have these units move to the roof. Furthermore, if you would combine these two units into a single unit that would have a higher capacity, like a two-ton units, then you have more options of what you can do. And usually you can have also longer run for each of those. So I think there's definitely possibilities technologically available today to put these units on the roof. And it's just a very pity that this was installed before these options were looked at. And probably these units will not be able to be used, but new units will need to be installed on the roof to fulfill the nature of the guidelines. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Serge. And I tend to agree with you. Alan Helms.
The last thing, if things are moved to the roof, is that going to block the view of people in the Bond Dome even more?
I would say we'd have to see a plan, and ideally it would be located within area where the equipment, the rest of the equipment is installed.
What?
Right.
What'd you say?
I said that the expectation would be that it would be located with the rest of the rooftop equipment on top of the roof. But, you know, currently we don't have a plan, so we wouldn't know what it would look like.
Does that mean there will be more stuff on the roof?
We wouldn't know until we see a plan.
Okay, but so far you're not thinking about people in the Bond Dome. That's very clear. You haven't given any thought to us. Okay, the other thing I wanted to mention, could I see the very first image that appeared on the screen?
That's it. No, you go back. There. Okay, fine. Okay, as best I can tell, your plan shows three trees directly in front of the building. You planted two, and they're both dying. Why didn't you plant three? Whitney?
Hi, Alan.
Hi.
I responded to the Garden Club's memo yesterday, and those trees are being planted on August 28th. And we have a maintenance plan in place to maintain and water all of the plantings around our building.
But you don't have any hole for a third tree. You look, one, two, three. Three trees. You planted two.
So Whitney, are you going to dig an additional hole to put that tree in?
I'll have to review that offline because we are compliant with the plan and the trees are not all arrived on site. So that'll be a separate response to the Garden Club to answer that question.
Okay. Well, we're going to stick with the agenda item anyway. So
okay.
Thank you, Ellen. Lori Thomas?
Oops. Uh-oh, Lori, I think I lost you. Hold on a minute. All right, Lori, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Great. To just keep this quick and to reply to Alan, we have had several questions to Whitney and the architects about the trees. There are three tree pits out there, and we understand that a number of trees are going to be planted on August 28th, so we look forward to that. We may be coming back to the commission because the tree fences that are on those new trees do not match the ones on Dartmouth Street, which is what we had requested all along. We are told that they are a contemporary interpretation of the ones on Dartmouth Street, and I don't believe we would have ever agreed with that had we understood it at the time. But I believe this will all be an issue for another meeting. Thank you.
Okay. You see anybody else?
No, let me just double check my email here. Okay, I believe that's the end of public comment.
Okay. Tom, I believe you had the motion.
Yes, that the application be continued with a proviso that the applicant explore HVAC systems that can be placed on the roof without installing piping or conduit on the exterior of the building and return to the commission no later than the October hearing. if they identify that a solution that complies with the guidelines can be approved, can be done, it can be approved administratively. However, if they find that there is no feasible alternative, then the application must come back to the full commission for action, including any proposal regarding screening.
Do we have a second?
Yes.
John.
Okay. All right, I will do the roll call vote. Tom Hyde?
Yes.
Rob Weintraub?
Yes.
Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
Ethel McLeod?
Yes.
David Eisen?
Yes.
And John Christensen?
Yes.
All right, thank you. And Mr. Helms, we have closed public comment. I will, if you wanted to have a brief comment, help. Is there something we can help you with?
May I ask that if anything is added to the roof, you bear in mind that you've got neighbors across the alley, okay? You've already ruined the view of most inhabitants of the Vendôme. Enough is enough, okay?
All right. Thank you, sir, for your comments. All right. We'll move on to the next.
Our next application, 24.0062BB 447 Marlboro. Is there anybody here from 447 Marlboro?
Yes, I am. Harrison Levisky.
All right.
Okay. So you want to read your comments?
Absolutely. Okay. Staff notes that 447 Marlboro Street is a three-story brick row house constructed between 1886 and 1887 and designed by architect William P. Wentworth. The existing tree is clearly causing structural problems to this building, and its removal is necessary to repair the foundation and front entry steps. The applicant has consulted with the Garden Club of the Back Bay and has discussed the challenges of removing the stump and the small size of the front garden area. Staff recommends approval with provisos, finding that following the removal of the entry steps, which has been approved in a previous application, removal of the stump should be further evaluated. The stump should be removed if it can be done without damaging the building's foundation and an appropriate replacement tree planted in its place. And before I turn it over to Harrison, I just want to say, this really is an impressive tree. It's really something to see how this tree has grown over the years and has tried to consume the entry steps in this building. So it's really fascinating. It's really damaging and something that does have to be addressed. But you can see some of the challenges here. It is starting to consume the front entry steps. It's pushed them over. Here, the stump has also consumed the front curb here. So it's a very challenging situation. So with that, Harrison, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Mr. Corner, so far for your help. Just getting to this point, I really appreciate it. This has definitely been a unique challenge from what I can tell. Everything that you said, I agree with, and extremely accurate. Right now, what we're seeing is those deflection in those front stairs, which has become pretty unstable. So we do have an approved permit and historical approval for the replacement of those front stairs. And then we also have permitting in place for the removal of the tree. And correct me if I'm misphrasing it, but I think the purpose of discussing tonight is the plan for after the tree is removed. I met on site with the garden club, and unfortunately we can't immediately replace the tree because there's no way to grind the stump without damaging the foundation of the building. We can't even hand pick out the stump because of the positioning. So what we agreed on as a tentative plan to present tonight was to cut that stump down as flush as possible with the ground, and then to treat it several times a year with accelerated rot decay for the roots and the stump, and then to continue to treat that over the next 6, 12 to 18 months and monitor throughout with the garden club. And as soon as we can dig out the rest of that system, then we'd be able to replace a tree, which the building wants to do. In the interim, when we would remove that area, we also realized that our last visit, we would also need to take out the curbstone in front of the tree and adjacent to it, reset the pavers there so that we're smooth after we stamp down and get as much of that root system out as possible, and then reset the berm curbstone properly with the new stairs as well. And sorry, Tree Tech is going to be doing the actual tree removal. Right, there you go.
Okay.
And I did review, on site with the Garden Club as well as Cambridge Landscaping and a lot of the firms, even the tree warden from the city of Boston, just to make sure I had all bases covered to make sure that there was no alternative way to address this. And it seems like we have come up with the only path forward that we can tell.
Okay.
Well, do we want to hear from the Garden Club before we vote or not?
Sure.
It would be helpful if that's possible.
Yeah. Joe, you're on mute.
Sorry about that. I'm going to let Nicole Morris. I see Lori.
Yes. Hi. I'll speak on behalf of the Garden Club. Margaret worked extensively on this project, and she was thinking that it would be great to put a tree in the back. However, there is no place for a replacement tree back there because we think that the planting space in the front is really too small to support, a standard tree. It's going to have to be something very tiny. We also explored after the NAB Architecture Committee meeting, the possibility of adding a street tree there, because while the Garden Club planted something like 26 street trees on that block, there aren't any right in the vicinity of this building. However, I was just there and I noticed that there is a manhole cover and some other kinds of stuff, like metal plates in the sidewalk there. And I'm not sure that structurally we could support a street tree there. But that's another option, I think, still to consider instead of trying to plant another tree in that tiny little space. So it may not be possible, but perhaps we can ask the tree warden if there might be a space there instead of trying to put another tree in this tiny spot that's going to be so close to the building.
Great. Thank you, Lori.
Margaret's here.
Okay. I guess we can call him Margaret.
Sorry. Margaret? Coming late to the party. I did speak with Cambridge Landscape and the contractor, and there is no, what he is saying is absolutely the case for doing this. No one wanted to try to manually remove the stump because of the closeness to the facade of the building. So I think that the work sequence that they have described is about the best possible way to go. In terms of the street tree idea, when we planted the 26 street trees on that block about 3 years ago, Max Ford Diamond, the tree warden, located as many possible spaces as there were. So I am not sure if there was something in this particular location that prevented him from indicating it, but we can follow up on that. But what Lori is saying, if she looked at it today in their manholes and other things, it's pretty unlikely that would be an appropriate place. I think we just need to realize that these stump rot accelerators are, accelerating is really a misnomer. It could take years for that to happen. And in the event that there is space to replant, it would have to be something that was a fastidiate tree with a taproot, probably a fastidiate oak, so that it didn't compromise in any way the facade of the building. But everybody who's looked at that said there's no way to fix this without first taking the stairs out and then taking the tree out. So we feel like we went around the block with this a number of times. The contractor was very cooperative and people seem to be in consensus about how this should go forward.
Okay.
A street tree would be a completely independent for anything this commission does.
Yeah.
Right. We have no just something to keep in the back of our minds when we vote.
There's no way that can be a compromise position, as we've learned in other cases. The city the Parks Department just doesn't work that way. They don't want to take contributions to plant street trees, and they just don't have the mechanism to do that. So we would have to go through the, you know, the Parks Department and see if Max would look at the spot again and see what he thought. But that would be a city Parks Department project. It would have nothing to do with the commission.
Okay, great.
I think I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay. Joe, you want to bring up the script?
Yeah, let me just find it here. All right.
Okay, members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on the project's exterior architectural features, which include landscaping. Issues related to use, street traffic, and noise are outside the commission's purview. So I know we had some public comment from Margaret and Lori.
So anyone else? I don't see any, I'm not getting any emails in, and no one's raising their hand, so I think we're good.
Okay, John, you have the motion.
Okay, I move that we approve this tree removal and in the process or the sequence outlined by the applicant, verbally at least to us, and with the understanding that the replacement tree or options for replacement will be worked in conjunction with the Back Bay Art Garden Club. And that includes a selection of any replacements, and including their help. That's it.
A second.
Was that Ethel?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. All right. Tom High.
Yes.
Rob Weintraub.
Yes.
Susanna Gaspar.
Yes.
Ethel McLeod.
Yes.
David Eisen.
Yes.
And John Christensen.
Yes.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Lori and Margaret and Harrison. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. I really appreciate your time.
All right. So, Rob, before we go to our advisory, why don't we take care of the administrative review? And I did mention again that application for 179 Beacon Street, 24.0060BB, has been withdrawn.
Okay, on to administrative review and approval. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
All right.
All in favor? You'll do the
Yes.
Rob Weintraub?
Yes.
Susanna Gaspar?
Yes.
Ethel McLeod?
Yes.
David Eisen?
Yes.
And John Christensen.
Yes.
All right. Now for the advisory review. And who do we have here for 415 Newberry Street?
Joe, we have Alfred Wojciechowski from CBT will be presenting.
Who else?
And Dan Gellarmini will be presenting. And then we have others who can answer questions if we can't answer.
I don't see Dan here. Dan, can you raise your hand if you are here? Because I don't see your name listed. Here we go. Dan, you should be all set. And I see William Young.
Great, thank you.
Make William a co-host. All right. Hello, William. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. And just before we move forward, just a little beginning here. Oh, if we could just let me, I had one image I just wanted to start with my screen, and then I'll turn it over to your team.
Yeah. Right. Thank you.
Let's see here. So I just wanted to read my comment staff notes that the commission held an advisory review for this project in March 2020.
During that review, the commissioners did not oppose the demolition of the existing addition of the Harvard Club and discussed the height of the adjacent project at parcel 12 and the height allowed by zoning. The commissioners at that time also discussed the location of parking, the transition of the proposed addition in relation to parcel 12 project, and supported enhancing the pedestrian experience at this location. The design guidelines for new construction state, all new construction, whether of entire buildings or additions to existing buildings, should be designed to harmonize with the predominant characteristics of the district in height, mass, setback, rhythm, scale, proportions, and materials. Height, building height shall reflect the dominant cornice heights of the surrounding buildings. Setback, new buildings shall observe the historic front and rear yard setbacks and shall occupy the full width of their primary frontage or frontages. Since then, and you will see that the project has evolved quite a bit. I do want to show, just for a point of reference, in June 2023, the image on the left, the rendering, was presented, which as a staff person, I thought was moving in a good direction in terms of design. On the right is the latest rendering of the project. From a staff position, I did find the light colored cladding at the top level of the building inappropriate. You'll also see part of the July 25th, 2023 proposal includes balconies with glass railings, which really there is not much of a precedent, if all, for in the Back Bay Architectural District. So with that, I will please go ahead and share your screen, Alfred, and I will turn it over to your team.
Great. Thanks, everyone. Thank you for having us. It's been a while since we've met with the commission, so really pleased to have this advisory review today and hear your thoughts and opinions. The presentation is in three parts. The first and second part, Dan Gallarmini from CBT will present, and that's a summary of a little bit about the history of the annex, the carbuncles that are at the back of the Harvard Club. And then the second part is that Dan will show is images of the design as it was on the BPDA website, which is what Joe Cornish was just referring to. And then I'll talk about the design since it's been developed since then. And that's where we're in right now, which is the review with BPDA and BCDC and other groups in the city. So Dan, take it away.
Great, thanks Alfred. So starting with the BBAC March 11th, 2020 advisory review presentation, we have aerial view of our site. The site is comprised of the original 1913 Harvard Club building. Just south of that is this carbuncle of primarily windowless volumes that house squash courts and locker rooms. And just to the west of that is the existing surface parking lot. This is a street view of the squash court looking east on Newbury Street. And this is a view of the squash court facade along Newbury Street. Here's a historic plan that predates the squash courts and the Mass Pike and shows that this end of Newbury Street was once lined with residences. And just to give you a brief chronology, the main club was built in 1913. The squash courts were added in 1924. And from 1927 to 1965, the club acquired buildings north of Newbury Street and eventually demoed the buildings that sit on today's parking lot. Here are a couple of slides of the squash court building construction documents, which makes it clear that there really wasn't much consideration for the architecture or its impact on Newbury Street when it was built. And we have some contextual conditions. So this is a view of Newbury Street looking east from Charles Gate East. To the left is the Hotel Somerset. We have another view of Newbury Street from Charles Gate East looking east. And then here's a third view of the Volkman School, which is also on Newbury Street looking east. The Volkman School sits on what is now our surface parking. Back to the original, the current conditions, current existing conditions. This existing condition on the right is the squash court carbuncle that we referred to, and to the left is the surface parking lot. This is a conceptual aerial view showing at our advisory review on the right is an 11-story mixed-use Harvard Club facility and residential building. To the left is a 3-story residential building. At the time, we were proposing to leave the existing service parking lot and build 2 levels of residences above, which has changed, and you'll see later in the presentation. And to the right is the 11-story building's first floor, which is half residential and half Harvard Club, which still remains. This is a level 2 view. It shows the residences built out on the 3-story building and the mixed use second floor of the Harvard Club. And these are proposed elevations back in 2020 when we were trying to express the intent to design a contextual brick building for the 11-story building. Here are a series of views from our site. So on the far left is a photograph of the existing conditions in 2020. The middle is the parcel 12 condition. And then to the far right is the proposed Harvard Club with parcel 12. And this is a view at the intersection of Newbury and Mass Ave in front of the Tower Records building. Here we have a view from Charles Gate East, looking east down Newbury Street. This is a view on Comm Ave in front of 382 and 384 Comm Ave with the 11-story building in the background. And this is a view in front of the Harvard Club with the 11-story building in the background. And so jumping to the renderings that are on the BPDA website that were submitted on February 17th and then presented at subsequent public presentation. In these renderings, we begin to define some of the architectural elements, including the light monitors at the 3-story building, the use of brick and metal panel, as well as the crown that was added to the 11-story building. We also start to break down the scale and define how the 3-story building's ground floor units engage with the sidewalk. How we screen the existing to remain parking at the 11-story building, the entry to the 11-story building and lobby, and the entry to the Harvard Club. Here we're back in front of the 3-story building, the entry to the lobby that takes you to the second and third floor of the 3-story residential building. And this is an overall view, again, showing the intent to build a contextual brick building utilizing a metal panel. And here's a view at the parcel 12 building, looking west down Newbury Street with the 11-story building and 3-story building in the background. And here's a view looking west down Newbury Street, again, in front of the Tower Records building at the intersection of Newbury Street and Mass Ave.
Excuse me, am I correct that the rendering of the taller building is the June version, not the one that you're proposing now?
That is correct. So this was what was submitted back in February of 2023 and what's on the BPDA website. That's correct. And here we have a series of 3 views from Comm Ave. So this view is looking southwest towards the Elliott Hotel. Our building's actually not visible from this vantage point. Here's a view looking straight onto the Harvard Club. In the background is the crown I referred to on the 11-story building. And then this is a view back in front of 382 and 384 Comm Ave. You can start to see the crown of our building in the background. And that's where we were up until today. So I'm going to turn it back over to Alfred to present the current design.
Thanks, Ann. So
what was that white box that was on that last slide up there?
This right here is actually part of the parcel 12 building in the background.
It's background, it's not part of your proposal?
No, this white box is part of the parcel 12.
It is part of it.
No, it's parcel 12, John.
Okay. Across the street from you?
Correct.
That's correct.
Okay.
Building over the Mass Pike, John. I think it's Moderna.
Okay. Thank you.
So we'll run through where we've been moving on the design. Next slide, Dan. So the existing conditions, just to kind of remind us what's going on here with the buildings on Comm Ave and in the background, across from the alley, the parking lot. Next slide. Overall view of how the site fits in. There's been discussions about open space and just filling in the block and how that works together. Next slide. This shows the overall site and the substantive changes from when you saw it in 2020 is that instead of a complete parking lot on the three-story building, we have residents lining the street on Newbury Street with parking directly behind. Also, there was a curb cut that we were showing from Newbury Street to get to the parking. That has been moved off of Newbury Street and toward the alley side. The residential lobby and the Harvard Club also have their entrances here, which is the same as 2020. We are showing street trees and improvements along that whole edge, and there will be additional street trees as part of the project in front of the parking garage and in front of the Somerset Hotel. There's been discussions with the Garden Club on plantings for it. The sidewalk in front of the 11-story building is 8 feet plus 7 feet within the arcade, so 15 feet total. And in front of the residential building, it's 11 and a half feet plus the 5 foot gardens that are in front of the residences. Next slide, Dan. We took a walk around Newbury Street and just we're refamiliarizing ourselves with some of the contemporary architecture. Next slide. As well as the historic architecture. And we're just thinking about the basic principles of, especially on the taller building, having base, a middle, and a top to it. Next slide. Incorporating bay windows into the design. Next slide. Details to it. Next slide. And so this is a view of the building in context with parcel 12 on the far right-hand side, the 11-story building. Part of the design moves we were trying to do is take it from being a pattern that's pretty homogeneous to get some verticality to it. So we've taken the red brick expression and introduced the white stone, cast stone coming through and creating a cadence of an AB rhythm across the facade. Next slide. This is a view of the detailing of the facade that we're proposing. So it's masonry, having detail at the spandrel. When we broke up the length of the facade, we've chamfered the facade so it has these implied bays in it. So it's not just a single skin. And this is where we're introducing what Joe referred to, the glass Juliet balconies that we have that you can see in the rendering. So there is an intentionality to have some opening of outdoor space into the units, and then smaller windows where the bedrooms are. So there's a rhythm to the facade. Next slide, Dan. Another close-up of the detailing within the larger windows where we're opening up onto the balcony, trying to get three-dimensionality and relief to the facade. Next slide, Dan. We're looking at the corner where we wrap onto our own property line where we can do some projecting bay windows and having the cornice wrap around the entire, the two-story cornice wrap around the entire building. Next slide. Close-up of the bay windows and the quality of the design of the masonry so that it has detail and a reference to the historic architecture within the district. Okay, next slide, Dan. The top, so we're having the white cast stone coming up from the chamfered corners and then relating to the overall cap of the building, the two-story cap. And you can see some of the movement in the top. So these implied bays that we have along Newbury Street. Next slide, Dan. We're looking at the three-story building now. where we have a AB rhythm where we're using projecting bass to create that cadence with a ground floor of stoop. I call them stoop entries. They're all handicap accessible entrance to individual units on the ground floor. And the second and third floor are from a double loaded corridor. So again, detailed with the masonry, metal and glass. Next slide, then. This is the corner view of the three-story building showing the lobby and the entrance, as well as the pedestrian connection through to the back alley, providing access for the neighbors. You can also see that we widen out the sidewalk. We do the bump outs to create a more safe condition for residents and pedestrians who are traveling along here. And you can see the bay windows and the brick rhythm, the AB rhythm on the three-story building. Next slide. And this is head-on, where we have that major minor move. There's different sizes of units, so we're aggregating those in a composition, kind of primarily brick with these metal bays, the entries to the lower levels. You can see that in the view. Next slide, Dan. This is a view along the sidewalk where you're seeing the ground floor pushed back so we can have a 5-foot terrace garden. It gives more expanse to the sidewalk for the public. Next slide. The entrance at the three-story building and then looking across the alleyway with its decorative pavement. Next slide. The screening and planting that we've incorporated. Next slide. And then we have the entrance to the residential component of the 11-story building. And then we've set back the entrance at the Harvard Club. So it'll have an entrance both on Com Avenue and off of Newbury Street, as well as the existing entry off the alley. And we have an opportunity to add some more green space. And there's been discussion about adding artwork to it. There's interest in doing that. And this is one suggestion for perhaps it's a figurative piece and it's the first Black graduate from Harvard. So making that Harvard connection. But it's an opportunity for open space with planting and some artwork. Next slide, Dan. So we're walking now on Com Ave. And John, you were asking about the parcel 12, that white block. That's not our building. Ours is just peeking up over top. Next slide, Dan. This is looking head on. We were looking at a lighter stone, thinking that it might be complementary to some of the stonework of the Harvard Club itself, the light stonework. And so this is the view straight on at the club from across the street on Com Ave. Next slide, Dan. Then when we get to the intersection of Mass Avenue, the Elliott Hotel does obscure the view of the 11-story building. And this slide is from, we're standing actually in the middle of Newbury Street, and you can see the top of the building poking up if you're on the street. And these are the elevations. So as I said, the intention was to get some verticality, to get these implied bays happening on the 11-story building, maintaining the two-story base, and then a top of two floors being sort of the crown or the cornice on top of the building. The three-story building, similarly, it has an attitude toward bay windows, creating a cadence across the facade with a corner being marked with the entrance, and then the punched windows for the rest of the facade. Next slide. And we just go around the building with these drawings. They're of similar quality in terms of the textures and the detailing of the building, since it is seen basically on all four sides and by the neighbors immediately. Can we play the video? This is a little walking video of the street experience. As soon as Dan's got it teed up, we're just...
Which screens here for a second.
Yeah. Quite a bit of discussion has been happening with city agencies in terms of the pedestrian experience. And so here we are, as soon as he presses, go ahead. We're walking by the Somerset Garage with its entrance. These are the bump outs I was speaking to, the widened sidewalk. You can see the terrace gardens are pushed back. These are all new street trees that are being incorporated. Each of the entries to the apartments are handicap accessible. And we have about almost a 4-foot slope across the length of this building. So we're stepping down to meet the sidewalk. So it's meant to be very pedestrian friendly, open, good visuals as we're crossing the entrance to the alleyway, the screen drop off parking, the valet area, planters. You can see parcel 12 on the right-hand side. So the two buildings don't really sit directly across from each other. The recessed arcade and the Harvard Club entrance. We continue with our street trees, as well as having planters within the arcade itself. The Harvard Club on the left. And so this is where parcel 12 and our building relate. Now we're at room and board. There are no street trees at room and board, and it's that railing with the raised terrace. And we'll just take a walk back for the experience from Mass Avenue. You can see where there's minimal overlap between the two buildings, between parcel 12 and our 11-story building. That triangular little pocket park, art park, storefronts, the recessed entry, widening the pedestrian experience. You can see the pike on the left-hand side where we're open. Planters and the entrance to the residential building, having the brick coming down to a base, including the white cast stone. Now we're on the 3-story building as we're marching quickly toward Fenway Park because the game's about to start. So much wider sidewalk experience. The terraces. And as we're approaching the Somerset Garage where we treat the final bump out and the trees that you see in the background will be part of the project to add additional trees that will be coordinated with manhole covers and other utilities. But the intent is to get vegetation down this end of the project. So at this point, we'll stop the presentation, Joseph, and take comments and answer questions.
Could you go back to the first image that Joe showed?
Let me find that here. This one here?
Yeah. And I guess my question is, if you asked me which direction the arrow went, I would say it goes from right to left. On the right, what I see is a kind of unresolved facade with vertical articulation of bays that doesn't bring true sort of top two floors that aren't integrated in with what's down below it, and a kind of overly emphatic division between the bottom two floors and what's up above. And on the left is a pretty nice resolution. So I'm a little surprised that the arrow actually goes the other direction. And, I really admire the close-ups of the details on what you showed for July 25th. But when I stand back and look at this the way most people will look at it, to my eye, there was more coherence back in June. And I would be saying this even if I hadn't read a letter from, I forget the name of the architect, who said essentially the same thing. But I couldn't agree more with those comments that what's on the left is more resolved than what's on the right, more appropriate. There's a surface tension on the left that ties the whole thing together. It's kind of calm and at peace. I do admire the three-story building. To my eye, that was very nicely resolved, both walking down the street and from a distance. I like the way you've reinterpreted traditional brick detailing in a contemporary way. But I'm really concerned with the direction that this has gone from June to July. And maybe, Alfred, I have a lot of respect for you and your firm. Maybe you could tell us why you made the changes.
Yeah. Thank you, David. Thank you for the comments. And, we go through a feedback loop, as you all know, through processes from urban design to BCDC to thing. And some of the comments were coming back that it's perhaps too singularly resolved at for the facade, that perhaps there should be a look at breaking it down into more of a, as opposed to a fabric skin to a series of vertical bays, and perhaps getting a little more movement plasticity to the facade. So we started to look at it and to break it down into this AB rhythm. So A being the recessed portion with the white cast stone coming down. That was part of the intention to have the white penetrating through. And then the B being the double sets of windows to create and kind of recall the rhythm of row houses. And I mean that very loosely, of rhythm of row houses. So that became part of the exploration to it. And also on the side facade was, since we have an opportunity to do bays because we're not over the street or so on, the thinking was also to introduce some vertical continuous bay windows across it. So that was part of it, is to get a more of a vertical expression, a little more movement to the facade, so that it had from a distance a stronger reading that with those elements rather than a singular kind of block. So that was the response to it. Yeah.
So what's going in my ears, I say, sure. What's going in my eyes, I'm saying, whoa, it's just not ringing true for me.
And David, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I understand the logic of or the rationale, but when I look at the two, first of all, emphasizing the verticality emphasizes the Mutt and Jeff characteristic of the two buildings. You've got an overly short building in front of the on the left, and you've got an overly tall building on the right. The June drawing minimized that by putting that heavy white cap on two-story cap on the July rendering. It overemphasizes the height of the building, And then having the vertical bays sort of pasted on, they're not really bays, they're sort of pasted on, again, emphasizes the verticality, which I think is contrary to what we want to see there.
May I jump in here and ask actually what is right? I agree that this is a completely a project driven by proportions. And the first question of proportion to me is the two buildings next to each other. What is driving the difference between, such extreme difference between heights between the 3 and the 11-story buildings? I'm sorry to not know it. I know I should have. I wasn't here for the 2021.
It's a good question, and happy to respond to it. It's a combination. So the zoning and the underlying zoning of the project was 65 feet and 120 feet. And through the community engagement process, there are many, many units that are facing the alleyway. And the neighborhood, as I said, the neighborhood community process was that there was a desire to push down the height on the three-story building to be a three-story building, to not compromise the light and air for all of the residences that are directly behind, and to allow the 120-foot building, the 11-story building, to be the bulk of the mass, which is direct, more or less directly behind the Harvard Club itself, so it doesn't directly obscure light and air to buildings. So it was a process with
conscious,
the meeting.
Conscious decision, it seems like, with lots of input. Okay, I understand. I think we have to think about the whole experience of driving into the city. This is going to be a very important element with the garage, and then the three-story building, and then this building, and then the parcel 12 building. So all of this together, it just gives us such a wide swing of scales that I think the other commissions are right. Looking at the individual proportion of these two buildings, then should allow some sort of cohesion in between the two. And to me, breaking these two buildings down into so many pieces just accentuates this cacophony that is created by these two buildings being inserted between the parking and the parcel 25. So I'm not sure that a myopic sort of understanding of the buildings helps explain or explore or exploit the importance of what these two buildings are doing for the larger scale of essentially, you know, welcoming people to Boston from the West. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't break it down into so many pieces, essentially. Yeah.
Yep. Thank you.
John Christensen, and I'm totally in agreement with David and the other commissions that have spoken that way. The simplicity of the June renderings to me are appropriate, because we expect in Back Bay buildings of that scale that are along Boylston Street even to have that kind of simplicity. And you know, you can have, you then have a top and a middle and everything just like you prescribed to do in the one on the right. But the one on the right is just too vertical, and it, you know, just coming down the street, it's too fragmented. I think the low rise is thought out pretty well. The parking down under the building, the new building, is that just for for people moving out between going to the Harvard Club or people?
So the, underneath this, John, are you referring to the
high rise?
Yeah, so it's a combination of accommodating trash and loading for the Harvard Club and trash and loading for the high rise, and then what we call some valet parking spots and rideshare parking spots there, so you don't have congestion backing up onto Newbury Street. So it's being incorporated off of Newbury Street and on site.
So that's like what you would have in front of a hotel.
But off the alley side, that's correct.
Okay. Is there an entrance that goes back into the alley? The alley is
Yeah, so there are a series of entries to Commonwealth Avenue buildings off the alley, including medical offices.
Okay.
And
but the pedestrian entrance to get back to that alley, which I assume is going to be landscaped as well.
Yes.
Is right where the...
Alfred, you can share your screen if you'd like. It might be better.
Yeah, can you do the site plan, Dan? The illustrative one that I was... Yeah. So John, the...
So there's a sidewalk there?
Yes, so that's brown, that's covered. A sidewalk, and it leads to the entrance to the Harvard Club that currently exists. So if you parked for Harvard Club event and you were in the below grade or above grade parking, you would walk across that brick walkway and enter the Harvard Club. If you had activities at 388 Comm Ave, which has medical offices, you might walk down this pedestrian walkway onto the alleyway and then enter those that entrance.
Are you going to cover that?
The walkway? No, it's just a sidewalk.
But that the entrance to the second floor residential will be open to that sidewalk?
Yes.
That's part of it. Spatially, that's kind of part of it?
No, you're so we have an entrance on the corner, John. And the walkway and the sidewalk, the public sidewalk act the same way. You can walk on either surface wherever you're going.
Okay. And what's behind the is there an underground garage coming up there?
So the gray behind where the bar is of the residential, that is surface parking. And again, it's about 4 feet above the alleyway as it slopes up. And there's one level of parking underneath the building.
And that's the ramp to get to it?
That's correct.
Okay.
So all vehicles are entering and exiting off of the alleyway.
Yeah, I'm wondering where you're going to put some trees.
We're proposing at the back edge of the
garage
to have a planter with some additional screening and plantings that'll grow up the screening. So it'll be I'm calling it a green wall for ease of imagery.
Because you mentioned that you have the residential on the upper level. This to some, it's not through apartments because you're going to.
That's correct. So some will face the alley and some will be facing Newbury Street.
And you're going to have some balconies and stuff on the alley as well, I'm assuming.
To be determined.
Some life. I'm worried about the life that's going to be back there.
You're wanting life or not wanting life? I'm not sure where you're heading on this one.
Yeah, I'm assuming this is a part of a neighborhood.
Yes.
Creating a neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I think the neighborhood guys in the back need little amenities there.
Yeah. So we're going to have, as I described, a lattice with plantings and a green wall. Whether we have exactly balconies, that, as I said, that's to be determined. But these will be home ownership. The three-story building is home ownership.
Okay, but I don't mind. So they in fact, how do you get to those? I mean, to those.
It's a double-loaded corridor, John.
No, I mean to the garage parking underneath. Parking underneath the residential second floor.
So, oh, there you go. Thanks, Dan. So, okay. So you cut across right there.
So you're not doing a typical alley with like would be at Back Bay, where the ownership goes to the, does the ownership, you're not using that alley then as circulating the primary circulation?
No.
So you're basically doubling that up.
Right? We are. And as I said, the site slopes about 4 feet. So the slab stays even, more or less. It's about a foot rise across that little ramp area. So the slab stays even and the alleyway drops down.
Okay. I guess I would be looking for the same kind of sensitive thinking about how residents are going to enter their, you know, look at, you know, with how they face the back.
Yep.
And so that there's some more life there.
Yep.
I you know, the residential looks pretty good from what I can see. The articulation is trying, it appears, to pick up the scale of the Back Bay, you know, which is appropriate, not necessarily to duplicate it, but the fact that you got to break the scale of that. You don't need to do that. You need to do that in a horizontal building, but you don't need to do it in the residential. So I am very much against the articulation that you were trying to do vertically in the latest rendering that Joe showed. That's me.
Great. Thank you, John.
Jumping back to the front facade of the taller building, the earlier version, the June version, I was wondering whether the comments that you got then were precipitated by the fact that your brick and opening and brick and opening and brick and opening are just the same all the way across. Any of the brick volume would actually want to be more substantial, so it's not as kind of tartan woven, if that's
a sentence. Yeah, I think that's sort of as I was saying to Joe when we were at a BPDA meeting, you hear comments and you respond and you try things, and so now we're hearing, okay, this is too much happening, and so somewhere in between, I think, you know, part of it is what you're probably saying, which is there is other ways of modulating the facade without it being so plastic.
Yes, and I think the direction you decided to go to is having more glass, mm-hmm. and especially connected vertically. And what I'm trying to argue for, or you know, explore in my head at least, is whether having some base, for example, the corners with wider brick fields would help bring this building together into a more, you know, like massive, more, I don't know, grounded form.
Mm-hmm.
Same, that should be explored in my mind. But a simple building.
Alfred, it's Rob. And I'm going to butter, so I have to excuse myself from any kind of voting on this. But it seems to me you've got a consensus on the low building in terms of design and massing and glass and brick. And I agree with the commissioner's comments. It's a very nice design. So I guess most of our comments are geared towards the larger building. And I have two comments. One of which is, Joe, do you think it would be beneficial to have a subcommittee formed for this?
I don't think, not yet. I don't think we're there yet. I think, you know, because again, this is just advisory. So I think,
yeah. But do you think probably having a subcommittee would be beneficial?
At some point, yes. But I think, you know, I think probably we would want to see another advisory review.
Okay.
You know, I mean, again, you know, I think they're hearing what I had told them, and I think what they've heard at other internal meetings that we've had is that, you know, it seems like the consensus is that the July taller building is going in the wrong direction.
I think. Right.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rob. I think Joe. I think it would be good if Rob were allowed to do his dump as a design critic, even though he's playing this role as a facilitator. Because I'd like to, you know, he's got skill. I'd like to hear what he has to say.
Well, I think, again, if the three-story building, I think, is spot on. I really, the recessed arcade, the individual entrances, I think the massing and the glass relative to the brick is a good portion. One comment I do have regarding the, as you know, in that alleyway, all of the dumpsters for 382, 384, 386, and 388 are all against your parcel. But it sounds like you're going to raise the elevation of the garage floor so that the dumpster is back up to it. And you show the dumpsters.
That's correct, Rob. So the dumpsters where they are now will remain where they are.
Okay.
So they're right now against a barrier fence, and they'll be in the same spot. So everyone, okay. No one's getting their dumpsters disturbed around.
It's very congested back there. So anything you can do to widen that alley. I mean, the other part of it is that there is no, I don't think there's any throughway. Can you get from Newbury Street, make a right into the back alley, and it doesn't, you can't go all the way through right now.
You can, physically you can do it, but people are double parking in the eastern portion. From the garage over, there's a lot of double parking going on. I don't know, technically it's a private alley, so I don't know what the usage is and the rights are, but physically you can drive through. So if they're parking there, they have to be able to also drive through. So
yeah.
I look at it and I go, it's a classic urban condition. If you can get a parking spot, you're going to take it.
Yeah, well, there's no parking back there because the dumpsters take up any kind of
available. Yeah, right.
My understanding is you can't, that right now it doesn't go through, and you have to, somebody parks back there has to kind of back up down the alley. In any event, that's not relevant to this discussion. On the taller building, I feel that there are too many bays. It's mm-hmm. There's too much going on relative to its surrounding buildings. If you could bring it down to maybe three bays as opposed to four or five bays. Mm-hmm. The spandrel is a little too 1950s for me. I don't like that curved brick. I'm wondering if you could come up with something
sure.
a little bit more amenable. I do like the upper two floor expression being slightly recessed off of the main facade. I disagree with the other commissioners that it should continue up as one facade, but separating those upper two floors and having them set back from a parapet or whatever, it just gives a little bit more context. So I do like that expression. The coloring I'm a little indifferent on. The lower level, dividing the building into three segments, A, B, and C, is a great idea. Having a singular facade for an 11-story building would be too monotonous. So if you could bring it down, the bay level down, the balconies, there is no precedent for the balconies, Juliet or otherwise, in the district. So coming up with another solution for that, even though they're not really usable, you said, it gives the sense, and I'm looking at one right now, it gives the sense that you have outdoor space, but you really don't. So I'm wondering if there's another way you can attack that. I like where that was going, but I think you're going to have a hard time getting this commission to approve a Juliet balcony, whether it's in use or not. But it's just from an architectural standpoint. But the spandrels, the bays, I do like the three divisions between the building, and I just think some more work is needed to kind of make it more cohesive. But they are two separate buildings, and they have two separate designs. And I like the fact that you kept them separate. And I love the fact that you kept all the massing for your zoning behind the Harvard Club and not blocking the view of all those residences on Comm Ave, except on the first two stories. So that's a very nice concession that you made for the neighborhood, and I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thanks, Rob.
And I just want to say, I certainly was not suggesting that the top two floors shouldn't be differentiated from what below. I think differentiating the top two floors and the bottom two floors does make sense. It was, to my eye, more successful in June than in July. And I also want to clarify, what makes a three-story building quite wonderful to me is there's an inventive, playful quality. So certainly nothing I was suggesting about June compared to July is pushing you to make it more conventional, more bland, just the, call it the inventiveness of the July version, just didn't cohere to my eye. And I appreciate the fact that you were exploring options, but as you've heard over and over and over, it doesn't seem to be the right direction.
Yep. Thank you, David.
Could we maybe hear from the public?
Yeah, I was going to say, Rob, can we have a few? Sure. I'll bring up my script. And we did receive comment from John Tankard that I had shared, and from Sean Regan, who I see has his hand raised. And Sean was speaking in support of the project from the Windsor Place condominium. So let me just bring up our script, and we'll just have a brief session of public comment just to keep this moving.
You want to keep the 2 minutes?
Joe, are you the one running this right now?
Yeah, I'm just getting the
because I was like, wow, man's gone rogue on me.
Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at backbayac@boston.gov. Public comment will be limited to 2 minutes per person and should be focused on the project's exterior features, which include landscaping, issues related to the use, street traffic, noise, are outside the commission's purview.
All right.
So should we go to Sean at the top?
Sure. Good evening. Sean Regan representing the Windsor Place Trust, Condominium Trust. And as Joe said, we did submit a letter in support. So I'll be very brief. I'll just reiterate a couple points. As the acting chair suggested, Windsor Place is very happy with the outreach and community engagement by the Trinity Financial team and their design team and their efforts to compromise and respect the impacts and concerns to the neighbors. As it relates to aesthetics, I think that we would reiterate the points of the distinction in massing between the two buildings and support the diversity there in heights. And we think that it represents what you would see in the transition from on Newbury going towards Massachusetts Ave. So we would just reiterate our support for that that massing diversity in the project. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret McCorney.
I'm speaking for the Garden Club, and I just want to say that we are thrilled that all these street trees are still on the plan, and that they're even extended all the way to Charles Gate East. And we look forward to working with Copley Wolf to talk about species selection and planting specs. We're also really interested in the, and we've seen the drawings that were recently generated for the what Alfred has called the green wall in the back. And it looks like a pretty, very impressive plan to plant and maintain what will be a unique kind of thing in Boston, if it works, and we hope it does, to screen both the dumpsters from the view of the residents and also provide another place for greenery. The other triangle where you're talking, Alfred, about the Harvard sculpture,
yep,
that remains a really open question. Mm-hmm. And so it will be interesting to see how that piece, that little triangle green space gets planted. But we're really pleased with how this is going. And as you know, I mean, we're interested in making this a real street that goes to the newly renovated Charles Gate Park, which will happen eventually. And it looks great. We're very positive about it. Thank you.
Thanks, Margaret.
Thank you, Margaret. John Tanker.
Yeah, so I would just like to say I do think the simplicity of the June reminds me much more of some of the nice older brick buildings on Boylston Street. And I don't consider that to be dull or bad. I think this large building does need to be quiet. And I contributed a letter with comments that are maybe a little more detailed. The only other one thing with the three-story building that I thought was discordant is the high hat brick treatment you had at the public lobby corner of the building. I think the normal cornice line that runs down the three-story building should just turn the corner and let the public lobbies of the upper floors and the lobby entrance that are more glass just present themselves that way without the necessity of increasing the height of the lobby. It just reminds me of every Walgreens I've seen across suburban America that have that high hat at the corner. So that's my comment.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
Joe, any other comments?
No, I'm not seeing anyone else. Oh, duh. Super indulged.
You don't get off that easy.
Sue's iPad.
Sue's iPad.
I agree with almost all of the commissioner's comments. I think my main issues are with the height of the tall building and how it relates to the historic district. The way we look at things, and I think the way some of the commissioners look at things, you see it from Commonwealth Avenue, you see it in relation to the brick buildings that are there. And within the district, I think that should be a prime consideration. I like the idea of reworking the cornice so that it's a little simpler. Setting it back is a good idea. The tower's verticality, I think for me is a problem, and I'm hoping that can be addressed and the whole thing simplified in that regard. I do like the residential building, particularly on the ground floor, but I want to call to your attention again a comment I've made a couple of times about the glass size on the upper floors and whether that indicates a residential building or whether it indicates a storefront. I'm not sure that it's the best use. And I would like very much to see what the back of that building looks like. We've never seen that part of it. I assume there are a couple of floors with windows over the garage that would be visible, you know, from the interior. Huh? Am I correct about that, Alfred, or does it all butt up?
Yeah, Sue, you actually have seen the back.
I have. Oops. Sorry.
Yeah, on different occasions and so on, but we didn't emphasize it today. But the intention is for very similar quality of that facade, the alley facade. So,
yeah. Alfred, and I assume these are all fixed windows, right? Because of the turnpike.
I have gotten to that point, but with energy codes, we're certainly being pushed toward non-operable windows for a lot of projects. So we'll see where that goes.
A random comment about the loading zone, which is substantial, is would there be any chance of having that used for residential parking in the evenings when there is no loading going on?
That'll be an operations thing that we'd have to talk through with both those parties, but certainly physically the space is there.
Yeah. And the only other comment is on the artwork. It seems to me artwork needs enough space around it so that you can sort of stand back and look at it. And I don't see that happening on that corner. And I'm worrying about the trucks that are turning into the access road next to it and causing all kinds of trouble. So I'm not sure that's an appropriate place for artwork, but those are my initial thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you, Sue. Joe, any other hands?
No, I think that's all.
Okay.
Wonderful. I just want to thank the commissioners and the public who spoke today and getting your thoughts. It's really appreciated. And I know it'll help guide us toward better design. More appropriate design. So thank you.
Thank you, Alfred. We'll see you at the next one.
Indeed. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that was our advisory review. So the next is the public hearing minutes, the ratification of the July 12th. Do I have a motion to approve?
So move approval.
And a second.
Yes, Christensen.
Okay. Yep. I'll do a roll call vote. Tom Hyde?
Yes.
Rob Weintraub?
Yes.
Juliana Gaspar?
Yes.
David Eisen?
I abstain. I wasn't present.
And John Christensen?
Yes.
All right.
Any staff updates?
No, thank you. I think you did a great job chairing. Thank you for
all right.
And this was a short agenda, and I think September is going to be a busy month. So rest up.
Oh, good.
Thank you so much.
Hopefully Kathy's back.
Good job.
All right, thank you. And so
who wants to make a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Thank you all.
Great. Thanks again, Rob. Good job.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Have a nice evening.
Have a good night. Bye.